Today's podcast is brought to you by Every Wednesday, a plan to inspire the people of Portland and support the place we call home. Let's get out of the house and spend some time with each other. Skip Zoom, meet for coffee, take your colleagues out to happy hour. Buying a gift? Ditch the internet and support a local maker by shopping in-store. Head into town every Wednesday and see what's going on at everywednesdaypdx.com.
Welcome to the Dive Podcast, presented by Willamette Week, where every Saturday we discuss the biggest news stories of the week with Portland's noisiest newsmakers, savviest culturistas, and some of the best journalists in the game. I'm your host, Brianna Wheeler, and I want to hear from you. So send your questions and comments to me, bwheeler@wweek.com. All right, y'all, enjoy the show.
It's time for WW's Best of Portland issue. This hotly anticipated annual cover package celebrates exceptionally unique people, places, and things that keep Portland on the national, honestly, even international radar. And today I'm chatting with one such subject to talk about one such exceptional thing, which happens to be a podcast. Annette Benedetti's pod, Locker Room Talk and Shots, is a hour-long sex-positive talk show that explores taboo topics that typically elude examination outside of the bedroom. Like, for example, the female orgasm, anal orgasms, or semen facials, both of the skincare and final shot variety. And though her pod revels in its femme, vulva-owning POV, hetero dudes are a considerable part of her listening demographic. And not for the reasons that might immediately come to mind. It's Saturday, July 22nd, and this is episode 133 of The Dive. Does sex talk make you cringe? And if so, why? If you're not entirely sure why, or even if you're absolutely sure why, maybe have a listen to the Locker Room Talk and Shots podcast, where the same raunchy sex talk, typically withheld from all but the most exclusive friend circles, is discussed out in the open, lifting the veil of sexual shame and thrusting feminine lust, sensuality, and desire right into center stage. The onus? Burning down the patriarchy while reclaiming feminine sexuality. Annette will give us her podcast's uncensored origin story in just one sec, but first, here's what I learned from this week's edition of Willamette Week. Nigel Jacobs reports that a May letter newly obtained by WW expresses a rare level of frustration from Governor Tina Kotek and Representative Earl Blumenhauer, who called upon Multnomah County Chair Jessica Vega Peterson and Mayor Wheeler to do more to fix what they called a quote-unquote crisis. The scale of untreated substance abuse on the streets. And they set a deadline for progress, 60 days after naming a drug czar. And the back pages this week are pretty much dominated by the results of WW's Best of Portland Readers poll. So check that out and then get stoked on all the bests getting all their flowers this year. Now let's chat with Annette Benedetti about burning down the patriarchy with her sex-positive podcast, Locker Room Talk and Shots.
It was during the Trump administration era, the whole grabber by her pussy thing happened, and I was enraged by, because when we heard those words come out of his mouth, I think universally most decent people were like, that motherfucker's going down, and no way could he become a president. And the fact that it was swept aside as locker room talk. I have always had a very tight circle of girlfriends. We've always talked very openly about sex in, you know, our locker room, which is usually having drinks together. Mm-hmm. And we use all kinds of language. If you listen to my podcast, you'll hear it all. But we also know that if that leaves the locker room, it has the potential to destroy our lives. Yeah. Women know that. And I just was so angry about it. I was just like, That is how the idea came up. I'm like, what if I, and not that I thought I would, just started like talking openly, writing openly, speaking openly on a podcast about sex. And what if I talked about it the way that we all talk about it when we get together? And so I did. Mm-hmm. And it was terrifying because I didn't know. My work had primarily been in, I was a freelance writer and had been in the parenting realm. I was a writer for many parenting publications and travel publications, and I knew that the possibility that it could hurt my ability to get hired was probably large.
Ooh, what was the response from like listeners? What's that reception been like?
I mean, I guess that was the thing. I'm going to tell you a secret that only those closest to me know. I had never listened to a podcast before making one. And I decided not to prior to putting it out there because I wanted to do my own thing. And I knew storytelling because I've been a writer my whole life. I'm like, I know the arc of a conversation, so on and so forth. And I kind of thought when I put it out there, just me and my friends would listen to it. And so I was surprised when the downloads started happening. And when I started kind of looking at stats for downloads and what that looked like, and I was like, oh, I must have done something right.
Yeah.
And it was scary because I thought maybe just a couple people will listen and then I'll put it down and save my career and my life. And, you know, I didn't know how it would affect. I had kids in school. Like, there's a whole bunch of things in my mind, scary things that were going on. But as I kept going and people started reaching out to me and asking to be on the podcast and say, oddly enough, I created this podcast for women, but one of my biggest listenerships are men. And a lot of, you know, heterosexual cis men, and everyone thinks, oh, you probably get a lot of nasty messages, dick pics, etc. And I don't. I get a lot of thank yous and a lot of questions and a lot of, I wish I could get, you know, my partner to listen to this. And also, thank you for letting me hear what women are thinking. And oftentimes sort of pleas for help. Mm. Or I know that, you know, I just got a message from a guy who was like, I know that this, it was the house, I did an episode called Housewives to Hoes, the journey from like trying to be that proper housewife to going out and being the proper hoe that I am. And he said, I know that episode was meant for women. And he's like, but it really spoke to me. I had to stop. I was driving. I had to stop my car in the middle of the episode. He's like, because I felt this so hard in my relationship. And it was, so that's been profound to me. And, you know, the tagline of my podcast is fighting the patriarchy one orgasm at a time. And it's interesting because what I have learned over the course of the 2.5 years I've been doing this is the patriarchy does truly hurt every gender. Mm-hmm. And yes, I understand men still benefit under it more than everybody else, but they are suffering in ways that are terrible and missing out on the joys of life as well, you know? So that's been really interesting to me.
Have you noticed the difference in the way that women communicate about sex and the difference that men communicate about sex?
Well, I think that the disconnect is that women are afraid to talk like I talk on my podcast out in the open. I think if we met men with our true voice, our authentic voice about sex, because they already are able. I mean, look, Trump used his fucking authentic voice and was president.
Yeah.
They're already able to speak more openly. But in our society, men who are like, you know, sexy and, you know, studs and go out and mess with a whole bunch of women are considered like powerful and prestigious. Women who do that are considered whores and they shouldn't be in professional settings, right? Yeah. But I think if women got to the point that they could meet men, and this is obviously a very heteronormative conversation, because there's all of the gender spectrum in between and sexualities in between, right?
Of course.
But if men, when it comes to men and women, if they could meet each other with their authentic voice up front and out in the open, I think a lot would change.
Yeah.
I am bisexual. I date, you know, all genders at this point, but I can tell you, even in my sexual encounters and in dating women versus men, the way that, you know, the communication, the flirting, the getting to the bedroom and in the bedroom happens totally different.
Totally.
And I think women carry so much shame and are so cautious.
Mm-hmm.
Openly and publicly.
You are unpacking very complex topics on the show. What was your favorite topic?
All right, so there is favorite topics and there's fun topics. I think some of the funnest topics for me have been like ones that I think make other people cringe. Like, so for instance, I did a podcast on semen facials and really got into talking about semen and like how I feel about it. And, you know, and people really kind of cringed and paused and pulled back at that topic. But it forced me into this uncomfortable place with myself. I, like, you know, don't love the idea of a semen facial. It seems gross and crude. But I will, like, rant about men who have problems with, you know, having sex with women on their period. And, like, don't shame our body fluids. Yet, my issue with semen facials and semen on the body is shaming someone for their body fluid.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that was like this moment in my mind where I'm like, oh, Annette. And so that's fun for me when I start into a topic, and sometimes I do it because I know people are going to want to listen because it's kind of, you know, on the edge, it's edgy. And what really happens is, something really deep and profound happens, right? You suddenly realize something about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You realize why a topic is shamed, and it's messed up,
yeah.
Right? It's messed up. And that is what my favorite thing about this this journey that I've been on has done. That's why I say to people, when you see the topic or you start in and you're like, oh, it's too much. I think it's going to be too much. Like, question why you feel that way.
Yeah.
And push through. And every time that feeling happens, figure out what it is within yourself, mm-hmm. Right? I think the other thing that's really important, the message that I want to get out and I'm going to be working probably for the rest of my life on, is I think that a lot of women, you'll especially hear women as they hit their 40s, 35, 40 and ups, and have had babies, they're just like, I just don't want sex anymore. I just, like, I'm over it. And mostly they've just had shitty sex their whole life. They do not understand, like, what it's like to have, like, the kind of orgasms I've had in the last couple of years. I had no idea were possible. Like, I didn't know how to access that pleasure. But more importantly than that, what we aren't taught, well, women aren't taught about their own pleasure at all, but what we aren't taught about is the importance of sexual pleasure, whether you're having it with yourself or someone else, to your longevity, to your health.
Mm-hmm.
Not having sex, specifically stopping penetration, leads to really bad whole health side effects.
Yeah.
In the long term, things that can be incredibly painful and detrimental to your longevity. And that freaks me out. It freaks me out that so many of us don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that we don't even know that, like, having orgasms regularly is, like, forget all of these multivitamins we're taking and supplements. Like, seriously, yeah. Get yourself off.
Mm-hmm.
It does incredible things for your health. And I've been learning, because I've been interviewing doctors and OBGYNs, and, I mean, I never really had known, I did not know it was going to go this direction, but it did. And I'm just learning so much stuff that most women don't know. And I know that the knowledge that I'm gaining is still just like the tip of the iceberg.
Yeah.
And I know it sounds conspiracy theory, like, but I'm like, I think sometimes that women's sexuality, sexual pleasure was oppressed and shamed. Because if we actually stood fully in our sexual empowerment and without shame and without fear, I think we'd be really, really fucking powerful.
So powerful. I'm so glad that you're doing the work that you're doing.
Yeah, it felt, I have to say, just having, being in Portland's Best Of was big. I mean, it's so big for me simply because it was like acknowledgement of this is worthwhile work, you know? And the reality is, yes, there's an element of like pulling people in with the sex, but then by the time they're done, they've gotten something, whether they thought they were going to or not, that is important. And they're carrying that with them.
Yeah.
And I know my life has changed immensely over the last two and a half years. I had no idea it was going to change the way it was, that I was going to change the way I was. And it's just because I'm getting information. My journey is no different than the listener's journey, right? Mm. We're both just getting information.
Yeah. I have one final question. Did you do the semen facial? And did it work? How'd your skin look after?
So there is a, it used, there was a trend where you could actually get a semen facial done. I think they used like animal semen. Oh. That was a thing. Seriously, look it up. I think Better Homes and Gardens did something. It was pretty flippin' hilarious. I still to this day have not had semen on my face. Trust me, I'm going to have a semen facial, but the day hasn't come. And there's been a couple times where my partner's been like, hey, should we check this off? And I've been like, not today. I have, however, gone from, this is really bad, but I used to, like, I really didn't like semen for a long time. And I'd be the kind of lay where the sex got done and then I'd waddle to the bathroom really quick and wash it off. I know. And now I actually enjoy it. We like continue on with, you know, it's part of our lubrication. Mm-hmm. I don't like, I'm not squeamish anymore, but I haven't worked up to semen on my face. Have you had a semen facial?
I mean, not with the intention of like skincare, but yeah. Thanks to this week's guest, Annette Benedetti, and thank you for joining me. I hope you'll join me again next week. Until then, bye.